Hello, and welcome to a special episode of the Batteries Included podcast. I'm Dominic Ioni, and my co-hosts today are Tom Logney, senior editor at Inside EVs and host of the YouTube channel State of Charge, along with Kyle Connor from Out of Spec Studios. And today, we're doing a special episode on this little adventure they had last weekend. They call it the Race to Florida. So basically, the background is, the setup to this is, so last week, Ford, which was the first to open up or to make an alliance with Tesla to use their supercharger network and also NACS adapter, their standard plug-in DC adapter, I guess on Tesla's AC and DC. So they were the first to do it. So they got the first access to the supercharger network. And Kyle here was the first person to actually use they have an adapter to use to go from the Ford F-150 Lightning, which he had to plug into the Tesla supercharger and plug in, and you were like the first to plug up and try this new interface. And that's all pretty exciting, but you know, that's something, it's like a momentous occasion. Okay. So we need something to kick off this momentous change. That sounds crazy, but that's not nearly as crazy as what y'all did. So I know, set up Tom, what y'all did do.
So what we did do was Kyle calls me up, last week when we're organizing, doing these plugins and being the first people to use the network and so forth. Because Ford contacted us a week ahead of time and said, look, we're going to have these adapters. We're going to only a few hand-picked people. We're going to choose. We're going to give you the adapter. You could charge. You can make content. So Kyle flew into New Jersey. I live in New Jersey already. And it was very close to where I live, actually. And so Kyle's like, well, I'm going to be in New Jersey. Ford has given me an F-150 Lightning so I can charge it and make my videos. But I'm going to ask them if I could keep it for like longer. And do you want to race me to Florida? So, you know, I don't remember exactly, but I think I agreed pretty quickly and was like, yeah, we could do that. You know what I mean? So me and my Lightning, him and his Lightning, same truck, same spec, Lariat, same size tires. Although I had my BF Goodrich KO2s on, and Kyle's like, you got to take those off. And I was like, yeah, I'm not racing you to Florida with KO2s on. You know, I'd be in Georgia and you'd be there. Because they do make a difference. I think I did some range testing. It was 10-15% difference you lose with those big, you know, hulking heavy tires. So we set it up. But here was the premise. On the way down, at first, he was like, one of us will use the supercharger, one of us will use CCS chargers. And we didn't discuss who was going to do well, but I know Kyle wanted to use the Tesla adapter and charge on Tesla. So the next time we talked, I'm like, you use the supercharger network, I'll go with boring CCS, and we'll do that. And we'll set a speed limit. We can only go 10 over. We'll leave from my house in northern New Jersey. We'll pick a destination that's exactly 1,000 miles away. We originally were going to go to the Daytona International Speedway, and we were going to call this like the race to Daytona. But I think like a couple hours into the race, we had some followers were like, hey guys, you know, it's biker week in Daytona.
Oh, no.
There's probably going to be thousands of bikers at the Daytona Speedway. And so we're like, yeah, it's probably not a good ending point. So then Dave and Kyle, cause Dave, Kyle's dad, was driving with him, was like, let's meet at Bucky's, which is like some, you know, crazy ass, you know, gas
monster
place with
stop.
Food, monster truck stop. And I had no idea what it was. And that plays into how things unfolded. I swear to God, I thought it was like a Sheetz. I thought we were meeting at like a Wawa. And Dave's like, you know, when you pull in, the chargers are to the left. And I'm like, yeah, don't worry about that. I can see the chargers. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be hard to find the chargers. Little did I know, it was very hard to find the chargers. Anyway, that's my quick overview. I don't know if Kyle wants to add anything at this point.
Yeah, no, I think what we wanted to do again was to Ford gained access to this incredible new charging network, and we wanted to put it up against what Ford owners had only a couple days before we were able to record this. So it's a little bit of the past into the future, and I think we learned a lot. We'll walk through our trip, of course, on Out of Spec Motoring and on Tom's State of Charge YouTube channel. We have both accounts, our trips logged, so you can, we got 3 hours worth of content between the two of us, plus this podcast on everything. We've thoroughly covered it. So if you don't want to watch the whole thing, but there's a lot more little info stuff that will come up in this podcast, of course, that didn't make it into the videos.
Yeah. And what's cool, right, is you're going to get to see two different perspectives of this race going down. Me, and that's Pete Bremme, my friend Pete. He was my, I call him co-pilot, but he's really my pilot. You'll learn about that in the video. And as I said, Out of Spec Dave was Kyle's co-pilot. And we have different perspectives on the way down. You know, we stopped at different distances. You know, we were driving side by side until the first charging stop. And, right, and that's when we split. We never saw each other again until the finish line.
Who stopped first?
Kyle.
Okay.
Yeah, he stopped. I was able to go about 25 miles further on the first stop.
No, it was only 14 miles.
Really? So what? Okay. Do you remember what your first stop was? Mine was 258 miles. Did you go 230 something or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
I forget. I thought I went more than 14 miles, but we went further on the first stop for sure.
Yeah, right. You did.
It was a whole week ago though, so. Practically.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like punch drunk from just not sleeping for, 24 hours. Yeah, and the crazy thing is when we drove down there, we got to the Buc-ee's, right? We shot our videos and everything. And then we go inside, grab something to eat. And Pete looks at me. The whole plan was we were going to go down there. We were going to get a hotel room, spend the night, get a fresh start the next morning. And Pete looks at me. He's like, "You want to go home now?" And I was like, "Okay." So we just drove home. Like we stayed in Florida for 2 hours and just turned around and drove. We literally drove to Florida and then drove home. So that was what we did. Stop overnight. We drove about 350 miles and we stopped in South Carolina, I think, and got some rest. But that was just so weird to just drive to Florida. Okay, let's go back to Jersey. So it was cool though.
So these road trips, a big part of road tripping, I guess, is eating. And so you had an interesting situation. Tom, you're a pizza guy from way back, right?
Yeah, I owned a pizza restaurant for 30 years.
Right. And so this picture looks like it comes from the dash of your truck.
Well, there's Kyle in front of us.
Right.
So, you see him on the horizon?
Yeah. That's right. So, I snagged this from Kyle's Twitter feed. I didn't see it on yours, but yeah. So
I think I sent them the picture.
Yeah. Okay. So pizza was involved. I don't know. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that? Because, how do you cook pizza when you're driving down the highway? You couldn't do that in the old days, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So, I didn't want to just eat junk food on the way. We couldn't stop and eat. Even our charging stops, there wasn't going to be enough time to like go in and eat. Like you could go to grab some quick food, like in a convenience store place. But I figured I was going to be stopping probably in Walmart parking lots. And I wasn't running in Walmart and waiting online and then coming out. So I have this cool pizza oven. And it's actually an interesting story. I'll really quickly mention it. It's from this local restaurant called the Columbia Inn. They make this really thin crust pizza. They're famous for it. And then they also sell these ovens. And then they sell these small 12-inch pizzas where they make fresh and then they shrink wrap them and freeze them and they sell them to customers. One day I come home and there's a big box at my house and there's a pizza oven in it and a stack of pizzas, frozen pizzas with dry ice with a handwritten note. The manager of this restaurant was like, "I've been following you for years. You've taught me so much about how to charge EVs and about electric vehicles, and you got me into it. And as a thank you for being a great resource for the electric vehicle community, I'm sending you this pizza oven and these frozen pizzas. Enjoy them." So the next week I went there, had dinner there, met the guy, shook his hand, thanked him and everything. But they're so good. I always keep a sack of them in my freezer because they take 10 minutes to cook. So anytime I can just in 10 minutes have like a fresh, good pizza at home. Okay, so push that to the side. So I took the pizza oven and I measured it. It barely fits on the center console of the F-150 Lightning. The Lightning has a huge center console, and it folds open and everything. You can't fold it open while you're driving. But So I was afraid I was going to burn it though. So I brought this like insulation and this cookie sheet pan and sat it on it. So we use Ford's Pro Power onboard, plug it in. This awesome. Oven gets like 350 degrees and it starts smoking as soon as we plugged it in, because you know, there's always like remnants of the last food you cooked, like a little crust or cheese. The whole cabin filled up with smoke and Pete's coughing and Pete's like, I got to open up the window. I can't see out the window. It was so, and as I called Kyle, I'm like, we're on fire. The truck's on fire. And they're laughing. But, you know, once the smoke settled, you know, we cooked two pizzas, a plain and a pepperoni. So we had like proper, like good, fresh cooked pizza on the way home as nice. We're driving. And I was busting them because I saw their back seat was just chips and pretzels and all kind of just crap. You know what I mean? So we just had fun. And then we also, on one of the stops later on, Pete ran into the Walmart and bought a Keurig.
So we okay, were, right, right.
So we were making fresh coffee as we were driving. And Pete's like, I hope like the energy that we're using from the cooking pizzas and making Keurigs doesn't cost us at the end. It didn't, but it was fun. Like we legitimately were eating like fresh food and fresh coffee, and I know they weren't. So you know, the if worst case scenario, we beat them in the food category.
Yeah. Well, while y'all were dealing with, you know, making food, we were taking this race seriously and actually, you know, focusing on our charge times and our experiences. And I think let's just run through the trip really quick before we get to each thing. So just for the viewers who understand, who don't want to watch the full, you know, 3 hour long videos, whatever they're going to be.
We should say there's a full video of this whole race on both the State of Charge channel and Out of Spec Motoring.
Yeah, we already mentioned it. Where have you been?
I don't know. Setting up.
And they're pulling an hour and a half.
I saw you working in the background while I was mentioning that. I was like, Dom is not catching any of this, which I do all the time too. So,
it's a challenge.
Yeah, the videos will be linked, of course. And so we left Tom's house at both roughly 100% state of charge. I was at 99. He was at 100. We did that because we figured his truck probably had some degradation and it had been sitting outside cold. My battery was warm, so we just wanted to make it a little bit fair. So mine wasn't completely topped up, but my truck was a fresh 2023. Yours is a 2022, Tom.
Yeah, 20,000 miles. Yeah.
Yeah, but yours has a lot of DC charging and you use the hell out of it. So, yeah. We both stopped at points along the way that were a little bit different. It's not every version 3 supercharger is open. And so I had to sort of space out our stops, and Tom could use any public charger he wanted to do. I think it worked out better where he just used Electrify America the whole way. And there, you did 5 stops, Tom?
5 stops.
Yep. And we did 6 stops. I sent you our, I was just trying to pull up our list on everything, but, yeah, basically the F-150 Lightning, just to, you know, I guess to brag about it a little bit, or at least to say some nice things about it. It's an amazing road tripper. Really great flat charging curve, amazing thermal management. We never had to precondition, never had to do anything like that. It just took care of the thermals. The warmest I ever saw the battery pack get was 42 degrees Celsius. That's the hottest it ever got, which is nothing. I mean, the Rivian gets up to 55 and it's thermal derating up there. And dying. This is great thermal management on the Lightnings. Blue Cruise was amazing. We used hands-free driver assistance a bunch. They're just comfortable, quiet, big cabin road trippers. I mean, they're just amazing. They are not efficient. Both of us averaged 1.8 miles per kilowatt hour. It was just over 1,000 miles. I think 1,002 on ours, 1,014 on yours, Tom.
Yep. 1014,
and that's the difference basically of the charger locations on and off the highway. Our speedometers were within 1/10 of each other. I mean, really, really dialed in. Yeah. And so we were good there. The overall gist of it was, just to give away the ending, was there was 6-minute difference between the two on 1,000 miles.
So that we pulled in next to you 6 minutes later. But as you'll see in my video, I call it 4 minutes. And I explain why I took 2 minutes back at the end of the video. So watch that. And I think a lot of people will legitimate, it's about the Bucky's location. We pulled into the location 4 minutes after Kyle pulled in and parked next to his. It took us 2 hours and I think 18 seconds to find them. So So we were just wading through the parking lot.
It didn't take you 2 hours to find
it. 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
2 minutes. Yeah, it felt like it. At the end of the race, I'm like, we got to get to the finish line. So it took 2 hours and two minutes and 15 seconds from the time I was on Bucky's property to get to Kyle. And there's two entrances. I talked to Dave. Mm-hmm. They pulled in the right entrance, right, and parked. I pulled in on the other side and we were going around the gas pumps and everything. And we're like, where are they? So legit, they won. I mean, 4 minutes is, it could be 4 seconds, but I'm calling it at 4 minutes, not the 6 minutes. Cause it took me 6 minutes to park next to him. But
so
like,
let's talk charging experiences. Here's the thing. Electrify America and all public charging, it's not just them, have really earned a bad rap. I mean, people hate to go on road trips in electric cars because of the unreliability of the lines, of the heavy usage of the public charging networks. Now, that has been the general sentiment, but I recently went on a road trip in my Rivian and actually was like, this actually is working pretty well. And Tom, your road trip, I'd love to hear a little bit about CCS. Now, I do want to preface this to the viewers. It was not planned, but we did run this through the middle of the night. We were supposed to leave at 8 a.m. and we left at 5 p.m. My fault. I just was filming stuff and we got clogged up and I wanted to get our truck to 100%. We were dealing with public charging by Tom's house to get it topped up. He really needs a 300 kilowatt charger in his garage. Would make life so much easier.
Yeah, because the 80 amp Ford Charge Station Pro isn't enough for Kyle.
Right. Yeah. Well, it wasn't. We were sitting around waiting for it.
We talked to him pretty quickly, though. It got
You need DC power. You want that DC power.
That's right. We need some juice over there. So we got to hook
this
Tom
thing's
up
great for home charging, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
It rocks.
Absolutely. So, you know, we basically, by the time we got around to leaving and coming up with the plan and filming, it was years makes no difference, 4:45, 5 p.m., which means most of our driving was through the night when the stations were calm, they were empty. But I still think it's interesting, too, because this is the best case scenario for both networks. And it shows that even though we had the same charging performance, originally I thought that we were getting slower charging on superchargers. It turns out the trucks charge the same on superchargers. I thought Lightning's did 500 amps. They only do 450 amps. And so that's just my mistake for missing the numbers on that. And I was in the video. I'm like, well, Tom's getting 50 more amps than us. And it's like, no. And I corrected that in the video, of course. But it really shows that it all came down to proximity to highway and the ability to get the truck plugged in as soon as possible. And also the optimization of everything. So can you talk about your public charging experience, Tom?
Yeah. So we had 5 stops. All at Electrify America sites. I thought about, I might have been able to shave some time off if I didn't use these locations, if I went to non-Electrify America sites. And I thought about it, but then I weighed that against, I know Electrify America is working right now. And I checked the plug share reviews on the sites I was at. They like, and other reviews that the stations were up, they were running, they were good. And I didn't want to roll the dice going into another network and then having some kind of an issue. So I said, all right, this one might take me a little longer to get to, but I know it's going to work and I know it's going to give me the top. And so 5 stops, I had a peak kilowatt draw of 165, 166, 167, 168, and 174 kilowatts in my 5 stops. So I had perfect, reliable. I mean, the Lightning is great about that. It's just so dependable. If you're not getting a good charging experience, it's because of the charger. But these chargers were perfect. Every one of them, every location. I plugged in. They didn't take longer than normal. I mean, Electrify America takes a little while to authorize, maybe 40 seconds or 45 seconds or something. But each one was as short as it could be. It started charging and never had a blip the whole way. Perfect charging curves. But the problem that I had that ultimately I think, I mean, there's 3 or 4 things I could have done that would have won or lost it. There's 3 or 4 things that Kyle could have done that would have won or lost it, I think, along the way that, you know, that if things broke differently, there would have been a different result. But the biggest problem that I had was it took me over a half an hour of combined time to get to and from the chargers on this trip, which is much longer than it took Kyle on his stops to get there. And, you know, that was a big problem. And then there was another problem one time where we pulled into It was this big truck stop area, and it wasn't directly off the highway. It was like 3 miles off the highway. And I got a little disoriented when I was in there. So we go to leave, and Pete's like, I'm not sure Google's not giving us the same way we came in. And I'm like, well, it knows the area better than we do. And we were like, well, should we try to go back the way we went? Maybe we'll get confused and lost, or maybe you can't get onto the highway that way. Maybe you can only get off. So we followed Google, and it took us like 6 miles on back roads to the next exit on 95. And the speed limits were like 45 miles an hour. So it was like, I mean, we sped a little bit, but we didn't want to go too crazy because we're in these back towns. It could be a cop just sitting in someone's driveway, and then we would be there for half an hour. So that added, I think, an additional 12 minutes on top of the normal time getting in and out. So, I mean, if we didn't make that mistake there, there's 12 minutes. I mean, 4 minutes, you know, there's so many things we could have done. So any event, that was the biggest problem I had with the Electrify America sites, is the fact that they're not right on the highways. Tesla does such a good job of understanding that, get them as close as you can to exactly where you get off the highway, because people don't want to be driving around some town, besides the fact that it takes longer. When you're on a road trip, you don't care about 4 or 5 minutes like a race, but you just don't, it's unnecessary to be driving through some back town when you could find a location right on the highway, pull off and pull back on. So that was, for me, every charging, all five were perfect. I can't say a negative thing about Electrify America except for their locations. And then I'll go back to what Kyle said about the timing. This would have been different if I was charging during the day, because my locations, the first location had like 10 chargers, which was really good. After that, I think they all had 4. Maybe one had 5, I'm not sure. And I know that, and also there was only one 350 unit at each location. And I had to get a 350 unit, because that would have added 10 more minutes onto my stop if I didn't get that. In the first location, the big 10 site, they have two 350s. One of them's out of order. So the other one was taken. There's only like 2 people at the site. So when we pull up, there was a Hyundai Ioniq 5 charging. And I pull up and I walk over, I knock on the window. I'm like, if I gave you $20, would you move over to the other site? I know this is crazy, and they're like, oh, we'll move over for you. You don't have to pay me. But they then, moseyed on out, unclicked the thing. And I'm just sitting there waiting, and they put it back in the charge port, walked to their car, like took 30 seconds and then slowly backed up and drove over. And I'm like, so that added, 2-3 minutes to my time just getting them off the spot. But I'm still positive on that stop rather than plugging into the 150 and waiting. Right. But then all the other stops, I was able to get the only 350 available, because all the other stops, I think there was only one 350. The Sheets in North Carolina has two 350s, but one of them wasn't working. The screen was just black. So I was able to get perfect charging experiences, but there were stations that weren't working, and I was in the middle of the night where I didn't have to fight to get a plug, which if this was during the day, honestly, I think Kyle would have beat me by an hour.
But Kyle had his own challenges too, right? Because he made one extra stop more than you did as well for charging, even though his Tesla superchargers were located closer to the highways. And then there was also this little clip from we saw on Twitter that I'm not exactly sure what happened here, actually. Do you want to tell us a little bit about this, Kyle?
Well, let's back up. Well, I'll walk you through my trip, but it's not all rainbows and roses in Dave's and Kyle's world. There's optimizations to be had all over the place. So, where Tom maybe could have saved 15 minutes, maybe we could have saved an hour and really beat him by a lot. So, I ran the truck dead. Yeah, we died on the side of the road. We had to push the damn thing. That added a lot of time. Like we were.
How much time did that take? Sorry to interrupt you, because I was curious, you said you were just a couple hundred feet away. Do you think added 15 minutes or more?
Yeah, a little bit less than that. Maybe 10 minutes.
Because I had no idea how long you were pushing it. We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, well, so let's walk through. So the first stop we got to, we thought we were going to lose. We pretty much were like, we're done. We're hosed. Because if you can go to the previous post on this, Dominic, this is stop number 2. Stop number 1, I checked the app. It said 17 of 20 available. I'm like, oh, we're good. Let's roll over. And then 45 minutes goes by. We show up and it's full, 100% capacity. And we're like, oh God. And we're pretty low. Like we can't make it because we could make it to another version 3 supercharger, but those weren't open to Fords. And I've actually noticed that Ford added a bunch more, Tesla added a bunch more Ford capable chargers just this weekend after this race, okay. or just this week. So there's more that are available now, which is nice. But at least at the time of that recording, we couldn't divert to another charger. And a Tesla, as we're pulling in, is pulling out of the end spot. And so there's an available one. If you go back one clip, one photo, just so this I can way? Show everyone. Yeah, all the way on the right side. And so that's important because our charge port does not natively interface with the supercharger layout. And so you really need an extra space, or you have to block two chargers in order to get the Lightning to charge. And thankfully, the extra space in this case was just a curb and some grass. So we drove up on there and, you know, it took us a good 5 minutes, maybe even more, to actually get the truck positioned. It's not an easily maneuverable vehicle. This is a big vehicle with a terrible turning radius, and we're in a tight parking lot. We actually had to go out of the parking lot, come in the different direction. And, you know, my dad is not used to it. And so he doesn't want to crash a Ford press truck. And I'm like, I don't care. Do whatever you need to do to get it hooked up to a charger. You know, we'll say sorry later. It's an F-150. They make parts for these things. And, you know, in my haste of encouraging him to go as quickly as possible, he like wide open throttles this thing up onto the curb and almost takes out the supercharger. I mean, it was almost pretty bad, but he saved it. I mean, I'm over exaggerating. It's all on camera, but it was exciting. He had to really get on the brakes to get it to stop. And if that was our first stop, we're like, this isn't going to work. Because after we plugged in, you'll see there's a line. That red Tesla and the white Tesla sat facing each other for at least 5 minutes, just sitting there like this. I'm not moving. You move first. You know, it was hectic. And of course, we're the only non-Tesla there. People are looking at us like, can you charge? Like, you're blocking our station. What are you doing? And I'm like, you know, in my mind, Ford gaining access to the supercharger network sounds like the saving grace. This is everything we've been waiting for. And here I am charging a Ford. My dad and I are like, thank God we're big dudes. Like if my mom was there, she'd be freaking out right now. Everyone's staring at us. Like, what are you doing? And turns out the guy that we like parked next to was just like laughing at us, but he was a viewer. He's like, of course it's you guys who are like rocking this truck up on a curb to get it to go. And we actually met two other viewers there as well, which was great. And it worked out pretty well. In the end, we got it to charge. And then every other stop after this through the night, we saw very minimal to no traffic at superchargers. And that's where we were able to easily block stalls or use the end spot and have no major issues. But during the day, there is the possibility that even if a supercharger is at 50% capacity and everyone leaves a space between stalls, which is what I actually saw that exact thing happen in New Jersey, we cannot get our Lightning in to charge. Right. And so it sounds like Tesla now has announced they're going to come out with a supercharger extension cable that will be available for purchase. It's on their website and it's not available yet, but it will be soon. And that is something if you have a Lightning or a Mach-E, you need to get the extension cable. I don't like the idea of extension cables. I don't like the idea of adapters. It's just so much loss, so much heat, so much ability, you know, things can get damaged and danger, just insert danger here, but it's needed. There needs to be a solution. And of course we kept saying in the video, like version 4 dispensers will solve this very quickly, which will be very nice. So it wasn't all rainbows and roses, but our first stop was hectic. We had to curb the thing. The second stop went well. We met some viewers. The third stop, I think, is where we ran out. Tom, do you have that sheet? Where did we say a 0% arrival?
I don't have your sheet in front of me. I'm sorry. I just have my sheet.
No, it's okay.
But I think it was the third stop.
Yeah, it's the fourth stop. So Stafford, Virginia is where we went on the curb. Stony Creek, Virginia was great. Benson, North Carolina, we actually had a failure, a fault with supercharging. We had the Signet Surge meets Tesla supercharger. And I've seen this once or twice before on the supercharger network, which is when the temperature sensors and the handles go, we get surging power delivery. So it'll go 140 kilowatts, 30, 70, 110, 30, blah, over and over. And I was like, I don't really know how long that was going on for, at least a few minutes before I pulled up the OBD app and realized, we got a problem. And So I had to unplug, move the truck, plug into another one. And then on the way to Somerton, South Carolina, the truck, we were cruising along. I knew I was cutting it close. I was, you know, going to do a typical out of spec arrival, 0%. But I've run a Lightning to Dead before, a press truck years ago when I did the range test. And I actually ran out. The only time I've ever really run out in an electric car was in a Lightning. And then it happened to me again. but under completely different circumstances. I look back at my range test video and the Lightning shut off with the OBD reading of the battery having roughly 1 to 2 kilowatt hours left in it full pack, which means they had about a 3 kilowatt hour or maybe a 10 or 12 mile buffer below zero, you know, that before the truck would shut off, which is normal. However, sometimes with electric vehicles, the battery management system, the BMS, can become uncalibrated or sway or have issues, or you could have a weak cell. And it is always risky running them to zero because especially doing 80 miles an hour, I was pulling a lot of power out of the battery. I wasn't slowing down. It was under load. It just shut off with 2 miles indicated remaining. And it still showed 6 kilowatt hours left in the battery. And I'm like, but the last Lightning ran out when it showed 2 kilowatt hours left. And I assumed, because this was a new truck, the BMS would be okay. But again, we don't know what happens to these things before they get to us. It could have been sitting and it just lost calibration. We charged it to 99% at Tom's house, not 100, to let it calibrate and top balance. And so it's really on us for not calibrating the truck. But it did shut off with 2 miles of range remaining. And I had enough momentum to coast off the highway, off the exit, blow through a stop sign. It was middle, you know, it was 3 a.m. in South Carolina, and no one was around. And I made it almost up the crest to cross the highway before it just stopped.
And so then you made your dad push? Is that what happened there?
Well, he and I both pushed it. You needed two people to get this thing moving.
Yeah, that's a big truck, right?
Yeah, and it's on an uphill. And we were like, we have to, this is our only option. And we pushed it up the hill. Once it started moving, I jumped in to steer it. He gave us the final, you know, few feet of push up the hill. And then we crested and I got the speed on and, you know, basically coasted right into the supercharger. It stopped right when I pulled up to the charger, plugged it in, charged right away.
Man, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was. We were pushing it. And then the next two charging stops after that were very, very easy.
There's Pooler, Georgia here on the screen. The sun just coming up. Looks nice.
Yeah, it was a beautiful sight. Very nice. And then we went to Yulee. We could have done, we charged to, I think, 80% in Pooler. And we know we needed, we knew we needed just a quick top up to make it to Bucky's. We, again, probably could have charged to 85% and made it there if we just drove slow. But no, we said, let's go rip it. And we did a 10-minute stop up, top up in Yulee. And that's actually, there were more chargers we could have made it to past then. But with the Lightning, because you'll get 450 amps for 10 minutes, you actually want that at the highest pack voltage possible. So we pulled in there at 30% state of charge or so and got a really nice boost at around 165-ish kilowatts, maybe even a bit more. And then just charged to 50% so we could make it to Bucky's at, I think, 4 or 5% we ended with.
Wow.
Which is what I ended at 5%. So, and my last charging stop, too, I was deciding how I charged to 80% on all the stops. But on the last stop, I know I didn't need 80%. And my initial instinct was to charge at to 70% because we had to go 158 miles, I think it was, from the last to the last stop. And so I'm thinking 70% will probably do it. But then I'm saying, well, you know, we're going to want to drive the 10 over the whole way on this last leg. And the whole thing was Kyle had to make a stop after we did. All right. So I get to the charging. Kyle's behind me now at this point. And as he's, I think, 40 miles behind me. And I pull into the last stop, but I'm at a low state of charge. I'm at 18%. So now I need to go up to, my decision is, where do I stop? 70%, 75%. No, I don't have to go to 80, but I need at least 70. So now as we're charging, Kyle passes us. Now he's in the lead, but I know he has to stop once more, but I don't know what his state of charge is at this point. And so now we stop following each other because we were following each other the whole time. I don't know where he is. I don't know what his state of charge is, but I know he's got to pull in, charge to I told Pete, I think he's probably got to charge to 50%. And I was perfectly right. And that was a guess. But I was like, we just have to get to his exit before he pulls out. Because if we're ahead of him at the exit, we've won. Because we can both limit our driving. We can't speed, you know, and at that point, like, I would even call him and say, just give up. Like, let's not have an accident because I'm ahead of you before you're the exit. And if I saw him, let's say I'm there and I see him like five cars behind me, I'm like, that's it. But so I'm going to pull out at 70%, and I'm doing the math and I'm like, we can make it, but I don't know if we can drive 80 miles an hour the whole way at 70%. We might just run out. So I'm like, I'm going to leave it till 75%. So we get to 75%, and I'm like, I'm going to wait till 76. So I charge to 76, and then I unplug it and we head. It turns out that decision cost us, because if I would have unplugged at 70%, because we arrived with 5% state of charge. If I would have unplugged at 70%, I would have been pulling in on fumes, but we would have beat him because that extra, I think it was 7 minutes more that I waited. So we would have just edged him. So that last decision I made cost the race.
Wow. That's a pretty amazing result, actually, to be that close, even with just completely different networks and location, charging locations and
1,000 miles.
Right.
And so much 4 minute difference.
It's 6 minute difference. but I think we summarized it pretty well, I think, at the end, which is like, 2 days before we had shot this road trip, or 3 days before we had shot this road trip, Ford owners only had one option to get to Florida, and it was Tom's route. And just in a couple of days, we have completely doubled the amount of options or more to get your truck to Florida. And your third option is you can intermix them. You go to whichever one's faster right off the highway, has the amenities you want, has the price structure that you want. And it really is the next era of charging, which is both are equal under perfect circumstances, let's just say. Now it's you can pick and choose based off traffic, amenity, and no one has had that ability really truly to do that up until now.
Yeah, this is good for the whole industry. Yeah. This is, this is the way it should be. Everyone should be able to charge everywhere, and then, you choose the network that you find more reliable or has better convenience items there, a store, better restrooms or whatever. But the fact that we're finally going to get to that, it's going to take 5, 6, 7 years for everything to coalesce. And there's going to be some issues in this transition, but it's great. And I give Jim Farley the credit. And by the way, a shameless plug here. I interviewed Jim Farley one-on-one a couple days ago, or last week, actually. That my video is going to come up this week. It's ready, but I want to do the Race to Vegas video first. And then a couple days later, I'm going to put that up. And I really talked to Jim about this. And I kind of stroke him a little bit and say, I just got to sit here and tell you person to person that, thank you for doing this, because somebody had to put their foot down to do it. And you're the one that did it. We knew that you were going to get some pushback from the industry, that people were going to say you were capitulating to Elon and you were bowing at the throne of Tesla. That's been said but somebody had to have, I'll say it, the balls to come out and say, our shit isn't good. Their shit is better. And I want their shit. and he's the one that did it. So
he changed history.
Yeah.
And history has changed.
That's going to make CCS networks better. It's going to force them to be better. If those networks don't improve, nobody's going to go to them. And Tesla will just keep installing more and more superchargers, and they'll own the industry, the energy distribution industry. So this is going to force the other networks to be better. So it's just good all the way around.
All right. Anything else we want to tie up real quick? Okay. So I think that brings us to the end of this show. Thanks for watching. If you have any questions or comments, you can leave them below in the comments or on the social media platform of your choice. Don't forget, if you like the show, please give us a thumbs up, click subscribe, that bell icon for notifications. And thanks you very much for joining us, and we'll see you again very soon. Ciao.